Okay, good morning. And if you have your Bibles, we're studying out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to mention a couple things before we go forward with our study here. And it's kind of been on my mind. You know, we've been studying out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, I know this is kind of going backward a little bit, but we have the parable of the dragnet. Okay? Now, I'm going to read it again here. And so this is Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. I'll give you a chance to get there if you want. Sometimes I think I go too fast and you guys aren't keeping up with me. See, my Bible has handholds. I go to various, when I'm studying in a portion of Scripture, that portion of Scripture gets worn out on the edge, so I can typically kind of get to it and flop at least, you know, relatively close to it. All right. So number 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Now, in the Greek, this is referencing a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered in of how many kinds? Every kind, okay? Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the age. I know it says world in your King James Bible. We're talking about the end of the age. Now, bikers are having a good time today. There we go. Now we can hear. Okay. So when we're talking about the end of the age, we have to understand what age we're referencing here. Well, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew is an overarching description of the events that are going to take place during the church age. So we have during the church age, we have the parable of the sower. And so what do? We broadcast the truth of the word of God into the world, which is represented by the seed. And who's the broadcaster? Well, the Lord is the broadcaster. He's hired men to sow his field. And so I'm not a hireling, as in the parable of the hireling. The hireling will flee when the wolf comes along. But I'm a man chosen of God to preach the word of God and kitted out or given the gifts necessary to discern the scriptures, rightly divide them, and preach the word of God to the world for the Lord. And so, you know, all I am is a messenger. Okay? And so the messenger, as the Lord, preaches the gospel out into the world, so the seed falls out where? In the field, okay? The field is a type of the world. Now, some of it falls upon the wayside, some of it falls upon thorny ground, some of it falls upon stony ground, and some of it falls upon good ground. And of the good ground, there's a harvest of 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, okay? So it falls on various types of ground. Now, also, among the wheat is sown what? Tares. Now, of course, the sower says, well, who did this? And we see that an enemy has done this. And so we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where we have one tree, which is of God, and that's the tree of life. Okay? And then we have another tree, where the Lord told Adam and Eve that the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die. Okay? So we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not planted by God, because as we read over in James, our Lord can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay? And so while men slept, speaking of the tares, an enemy did what? Sowed tares amongst the wheat. And so, of course, we saw a deep sleep fall upon, our Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and a rib was taken out of his side, and woman was brought forth from Adam, so that woman could come from man. That's why we call it mankind, by the way. It's not being sexist. It's just that the woman came, first woman came from man, and all subsequent men and women came from woman. So the first man is the federal head of the race, i.e. mankind. Okay, and of course, we have the shedding of blood there. There's a picture of salvation there and all that kind of stuff. So, but nevertheless, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not put in the garden by God. It was put into the garden by a usurper who was sowing his false gospel into the world. It was a counterfeit of the tree of life. Now, if they reached forth their hand from the tree of life, they'd do what? Or to their tree of, to eat of the tree of life, they would do what? They'd live forever. Of course, after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in a fallen state, God, showing forth his grace for humanity, banished Adam and Eve from the garden. And as a measure of grace to them, lest they reach forth their hand and eat from the tree of life and live forever in a fallen state or be in an unredeemable state. Okay, so we see the grace of God excised upon humanity in that respect. Now, what came out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What came out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a way which seemeth right unto a man. That you can be like God by your knowledge of right and wrong. And of course, you know, the world says that, oh, God is evil for not allowing Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But besides, knowledge is power, and what's wrong with having knowledge? Well, it depends on what kind of knowledge you have. Okay? Humanity was given an understanding through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that by his own morality or by his own dictation of what is right and what is wrong, that he can make himself fit for God's presence by the life that he lives. Now, I make this example all the time because I have people, the naysayers, say, okay, well, what about the atheists? They don't believe in anything at all. Yeah, they do. What does the atheist believe? The atheist has decided there's no God. Okay? I'm going to repeat myself. The atheist has decided there's no God. Where did the decision come from? The atheist. Okay? So from the atheist's determination, self-determination, they say there's no God. So they live unto themselves. So what have they just made themselves? They've made themselves their own God. After all, they can dictate what is right and what is wrong, what is real, what is true, what exists and what does not. All right? So all these things are a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. Okay? And so in the world today, what do we see? We see a vast net cast out in the name of religion. Okay? We see a vast net cast out in the name of Christianity. And now we have the death of Charlie Kirk. Okay? Now, I want to mention this because it's on everybody's minds, and I've had people ask me questions about it and stuff like that. And it's all over the news, and you can't, with social media these days, you can't avoid anything. Not that we need to avoid it or anything like that, but these things are just blah, right in our face. You know, I can tell you, that was probably the worst political assassination that we've ever seen in the last 100 years. Everybody immediately was able to see somebody's, I don't know if you know about a carotid artery, but you hit that thing, and about a pint of blood's going to come out every 2 seconds, you know. So we saw blood spilled. And it's hard on the eyes, okay? You know, people get desensitized to this stuff, but I think it hit everybody pretty hard. Of course, you know, people die in a dastardly fashion every day of the week, but we have one man that is supposed to be a good man. Now, when I start talking about these, I don't want anybody to get me wrong here, okay? I don't want to be canceled because I'm going to say something against Charlie Kirk, okay? And I'm not saying anything against the man. I'm going to explain myself here. The world is lamenting the death of Charlie Kirk. I'm lamenting the death of Charlie Kirk. It was a nasty thing that happened, right? Well, the man proclaimed to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to take that at face value. You know, if somebody says they're a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe them at face value. Until they bring to me either fruit from the evil tree or fruit from the tree of life. So if a believer in Jesus Christ, who is genuinely a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, tells me that they are, and then we're happen to find ourselves in a conversation about the gospel, because of the Spirit of God that indwells that believer in Jesus Christ, his Spirit's going to bear witness with, you know, the Spirit of God's going to bear witness with his Spirit that he's his around the truth of the Word of God. So there's going to be an agreement with the truth of the Word of God. But if somebody who says they're is a believer, but they stand against the person and work of Christ and try to establish their own moral righteousness for the stand that they take in Christ, then they're bringing forth fruit from the evil tree. Now, I heard Charlie Kirk say a lot of things using the name of God to bring about good in the world. Okay? Now, whether the man's a believer in Jesus Christ or not, I still stand, I don't know. It's between him and God. But we're not going to bring about the things of God in the world by doing or causing good to take place. Now, I know I'm probably getting off on what seems to be the wrong foot here, but let me explain. A lot of Christians, if they're going to church, how are we supposed to preach the Word of God? We're supposed to rightly divide the Word of truth. Line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. So we're supposed to campus the entire Word of God, offer you the truth of the Word of God using the proper types and proper keys, representing the Lord Jesus Christ in a faithful manner so that the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ can be shown throughout the Word of God. Because we're not justified by works of righteousness which we've done. It's according to God's mercy that he saved us. Now, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but I'm taught that I have to be good, I might be right with God. I might have peace with God because I've accepted Christ as my Savior, but I might have some pastor behind the pulpit that's breathing down my neck that I have to be a good person. Now, what is that? Well, that's false. We agree with the law, and it's good and right and holy. But as the Apostle Paul said, how to keep it, I find not. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. I'm going to finish this argument here using this portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 7. I know we're all probably pretty familiar with this portion of Scripture, as we should be. All right, Paul says here in verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once." Now, what does he mean when he says he was alive without the law once? Well, how are we born into the world according to God's view? We're born into the world dead in trespasses and sins. We need to be redeemed. We need to be made alive again by the preaching of the gospel pertaining to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for my sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and the declaration that our Lord made when he took upon my curse or my sin to the cross and died there for it, as if he committed it himself, was that because I live, ye shall live also. Well, how does that come to be? Through the doctrine of imputation. Because my sin was given to him or placed upon him and pinned to that cross, his righteousness in like manner was given to me. So I made the righteousness of God in him by faith in his person and work in my behalf. So that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? Cleanses me from all sin. That's the new covenant relationship, after all. The new covenant relationship that I stand under and you stand under is their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when? No more. Because of the provision of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in your and my behalf. Okay? So I stand in the person and work of Christ. So I was made alive unto God. I was born dead in trespasses and sin, but I was made alive, quickened unto God, when the scripture or the gospel concerning Jesus Christ and his person and work was preached to me, and the Spirit of God was active, blessed it to the truth of my heart and mind, and I made it my own. I'm going to read a portion of scripture to you that I wrote in the bulletin. Okay, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I'm going to read it the way that it should have been translated. Okay? Okay, love not the world. Well, let's turn to it in the Bible so you can look at both ways. Hold your spot here. We're going to come back to Romans. So 1 John chapter 2. Okay. First John chapter 2, verse 15. John says, love not the world. Okay? That's the cosmos. That's cosmos in the Greek. That means the order of things after the fall. All right? What is the order of things after the fall? The order of things after the fall pertains to what was put into man through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now man operates according to a way that seemeth right unto him. And all the end there, the end of all those ways are the ways of death. So he operates according to do good, get good. So God says, don't love that. That's of the world. Neither the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what was the love of the Father? Or I should say, who is the love of the Father? Our Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How did he give his only begotten Son? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so has the Son of God, or must the Son of God be lifted up. So he was lifted up and bore our sin, and whosoever looks shall what? Shall live. Okay? So as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all those who express faith might have eternal life. Okay, so love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world says do good, get good, so we can't be justified by do good, get good, because there's no good men. So we have to be justified by and through faith in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, What did Eve see when she looked at the tree? That it was good for food. Okay? And the lust of the eyes. It was pleasant to the eye. So these speak of all of the outward sins, our sin nature in general. Okay? That's within humanity. And she also saw what? That she would be like God by eating of it. Now, how was she created? Whose image? God's. She had God's image and God's intellect. But she was given free will. Okay? So, we have the pride of life. And how has man been trying to get back into the presence of God? That is the Garden of Eden. He's been trying to get back into the presence of God by the same means by which he got kicked out. You know, his pride of life. Look at me, God. I've been this, I've been that, I've done this for you, I've done that for you in the world. And that's why, and I'm not casting any negativity upon the death of Charlie Kirk. The man died a martyr. Okay? Who knows what's going to come from this? But the man was trying to change the world to make the world good. Are we going to change the world to make the world good? Good enough so that the world will receive God? No. Okay? There's no good in the world. All right? Now, there is a separation between things political and between things spiritual. Now, God uses the political to bring about things spiritual, because all who are rulers in the world are put in place by God, and he raises up what kind of men to rule? The basis of men to rule. So do we sometimes cast doubt and hatred towards these base men that rule over us? Sure we do, but God's will is in it. When God installed Pharaoh, and he did, okay, and the nation of Israel was in captivity in Egypt. What is Egypt a type of? The world. What's in the world? Do good, get good, away which seemeth right. So it speaks of the world and it speaks of the captivity of sin or the law. Okay? And Moses was told to go speak to Pharaoh. And he did. He was hesitant at first, but God had to tell him, who made your mouth? Moses. And he gave him the courage and all the things necessary to speak. And so he came to Pharaoh and spoke. And every time he spoke to Pharaoh, saying, let my people go, what happened? Pharaoh became harder and harder and harder and increased the burden upon the Israelites. Okay? And so as the burden was increased upon the Israelites, God was given a place to judge the false gods of Egypt. So he was judging the world in their idolatrous ways. All right? And then what took place? Well, they weren't delivered by Moses. They weren't delivered by Pharaoh. They were delivered by what? The blood of the Passover lamb. Okay? Now, it said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And people say, oh, why'd God harden Pharaoh's heart? Why didn't God save Pharaoh? Well, God knew in his omniscience from before the foundation of the world that that particular man would not come to faith in Christ, so he left him to his reprobate mind and hardened his heart. Yeah. And he used that hardened Pharaoh to bring about his will. And his will was to present the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world in type. So what was the nation of Israel to do? They couldn't bring themselves out from underneath bondage themselves, just like man can't bring himself out from the bondage, underneath the bondage of sin and the bondage of the law. So they had to look to the provision of God. So what did the Word of God say? The Word of God said, take a lamb, one lamb for a house. If you can't afford a lamb in your house, go with your neighbor and put that lamb to death by the shedding of blood and sprinkle the blood of that lamb upon what? The doorpost and the lentils. So what it did was created a bloody cross upon the door. And the Lord said, I'm going to send through my death angel in the camp that night. And when I see the blood, I will what? I will pass over you. So when death is coming, as it's coming for all of us, and the blood of Christ is applied to the heart of the believer in Jesus Christ, what does God say? I will pass over you. The definition of death for God is eternal separation from himself. So that was a representative ministry as well. Now, who died in the camp that night? The firstborn of every household, even in the household of Pharaoh. Now, are we justified based upon our natural birth, or are we justified based upon our spiritual birth? We're justified based upon our second birth. All who are born again in Christ Jesus or who have trusted Christ as our Savior were made what? A new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man is put to death. Okay? And so we can't find justification before God by works of righteousness which we have done, because that's the false theology or the contrary wind we were born into when we were brought into the world, dead in trespasses and sin. And so if we try to approach God based upon our natural birth or what we know naturally, we're going to find what? Judgment. So the firstborn was judged in the nation of Israel, which represents the world. And whosoever applied the blood to the doorposts and lintels of the innocent victim that was slain in the household's behalf, the death angel passed over them and they were caused to live. Now then they were supposed to consume it, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and then burn it. Speaks of resurrection. So we have the death and we have the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was buried within them. It spoke of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ was put to death on the cross of Calvary. He was buried for 3 days and three nights, and he arose from the dead and said, because I live, what? You shall live also. And so that night, they were supposed to have their shoes on their feet, their coat on their back, and their backpacks on their back, and their staff in their hand, ready to go. Delivered from the world. And one day, we're going to hear the trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ rise first, are going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so the Lord uses politics and uses men and uses the world to bring about his will for the world. And his will for the world is for that, so that humanity would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so he says here, for all that's in the world, this is verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of what? Not of the Father, but is of what? Of the world. It all came out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It all came out of the false gospel of the devil, the Antichrist, who was in the form of the serpent, that says that you can be like God by what you do. It's not of the Father. It's not acceptable unto God. That's no different than offering Cain what came out of the earth. The earth is cursed. We can't offer God that which is cursed. The works of our own hands are cursed because none of us can possibly be made fit for the presence of God by what we do. We're sinners undone. There's not a righteous man upon the earth. No, not one. So how can we please God with hands of unrighteousness? It's impossible. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he, it says, and this is what I'm going to correct for you, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now that works, but this should have been translated this way. This is the Greek word poieo. And in Greek, the word poieo, its primary meaning is to make, not to do. Okay? So, I'm going to use my wife for example. When I married my wife, I made her my own bride, my own wife. Okay? Or I took her in as my own. She was a poor little orphan on the street, and I took her in as my own. What was that movie with Richard Gere? Pretty Woman. Except she wasn't a prostitute. I'm going to shut up now. If we've committed one sin, we're committing them all. I'm a prostitute too. Okay, so. All right. So I made her my own wife. If I adopt a son or adopt a daughter, I make her my own daughter, or make him my own son. Okay. In like manner, we have adopted, really he adopted us, but we've made, through the preaching of the gospel, faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And by the presence of the Spirit of God, who bears witness with our spirit that we belong to him, we're given the faith to believe, and we make the Lord Jesus Christ our own God, our own Savior. He died for me. He died for you. Okay? So this should read this way. But he that doeth the will of God, that's how it reads normally, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, but it should read this way. But he that maketh the will of God his own will abideth forever. What is the will of God? What might we do that we may work the works of God? This is the work of God, God's will. Believe on him who he has sent. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ? I know it's real hard to understand. It is for the natural mind. Why was God sent in to stand in man's stead? Because man couldn't stand on his own. So he bore my judgment to the cross of Calvary, died for my sins, shed his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? Cleanses you and me from all sin. So I agree with the law. It's good and right and holy. I agree with making the world a better place. We all want to live peaceable lives. But we're not going to do it through the law. And we're not going to do it through political action. You know? And when we say things like this, Christians have been saying this forever. Oh, Lord, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What are we asking for? Think about this. As it was, the scripture says that this is the way it's going to be in the latter days. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And I feel like Lot sometimes, you know. Lot's righteous soul was vexed from day to day with the unrighteous deeds of Sodom. And you don't want to know why it was vexed? Because he took part in them. Lot was a sinner saved by grace. And Sodom was a lot like the world we live in right now. And in all reality, the world's always kind of been like Sodom. And also, it says, in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was it like in the days of Noah? We had a factionization in the days of Noah, okay? And everybody was operating the way they were operating in a religious fervor. They thought that they were morally righteous in what they were doing, but they were standing against the truth of the Word of God. So I'm going to pose to you a difficult question. And this is scriptural, okay? I'm not defaming Charlie Kirk. I enjoyed listening to the man, okay? I agreed with a lot of his political points. I agreed with some of what he said about the scriptures. I don't agree with everything that he said about the scriptures because he was fairly legalistic. And, you know, we were going to read over here in the book of Romans. Well, let's read this first before I make this statement. This is going to make more sense. Let's go back to Romans. That way I can not be a liar and actually read something out of Romans. All right, verse 9. For I was alive with, this is Romans chapter 7. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, the sin revived and I died. What is the sin? The sin was what he knew naturally, a way which seemeth right unto a man, the nature he was born with, and that Jewish nature came alive in him again, and he attempted to put himself back under law. I did the same thing after I was saved. I found out that I was no more capable of keeping the law after I was saved than I was prior to being saved. That's what Paul finds himself doing here. And the commandment came, which was ordained to life. Is there anything wrong with the commandment? No, it's ordained to life. Okay. Our Lord is the one that came and fulfilled it for me. So the commandment had to be fulfilled. It just couldn't be fulfilled by me and couldn't be fulfilled by you because we're all sinners. But it was fulfilled in the Son of God. So the commandment was ordained to life, but he found it to be ordained unto death. Why? Well, let's read. For the sin, that is, the sin nature he was born with, that he received from his father Adam, okay, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it what?
Slew me.
Slew me. The law is a ministry of condemnation, and therefore a ministry of death. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but the sin. So it wasn't the problem with the law. It was his nature that was the issue. But the sin that it might appear sin, okay, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment be the sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So why was the commandment given? To point out the sin nature. Okay? That's why he says here, I'm going to read it again. Was that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But the sin that it might appear sin, so it might become visible. Because where no law is what? No transgression. So there had to be a law to show forth the transgression. For we know that the law is spiritual. But I am what?
Carnal.
Sold under the sin. That nature I got from my father Adam. I'm reading the definite articles here. Okay, they're present in the Greek. For that which I do, I allow not. Anybody ever had that experience? I know I have. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. The reason why he's going through this contention within himself is because of the sin that dwells in him. The same sin nature that dwells in you and in I. And we're not going to be rid of this nature until we're raised, glorified, and adopted. So this is something that we contend with all the days of our life as believers in Jesus Christ. But if we put our sin in the right place, then we're not cast down and we're not defeated. It's under the blood. So he goes on. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what?
No good thing.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. If I had a penny for every single time I thought this about myself, it'd be a carboy full of pennies. You know, those big brewing carboys. All right. It used to be popular in the 70s and 80s to have a carboy full of change, you know, in the house at the front door or whatever, and I'd go to people's houses and they'd have that, and I thought they were just rich. Bullion in the carboy. Okay, so, now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. So I've heard pastors say, you need to separate yourself from the man in you that sins from the and go to the man in you that's good. You know, what a bunch of nonsense. Everything he just said refutes what that argument is. Okay. I find then a law or a consistency that when I would do good, the evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the spiritual man, the inward man, right? It's good and right and holy. And someday I'm going to be able to keep it when I'm raised, glorified, and adopted. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. And I think that when he said, I thank God, he was thinking this. I'm already delivered, as I bend the glasses off my face. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of what?
Sin.
Now, this is one of those spots where the chapter division really screws it up, because the thought here is not, this is not the end of the thought. We have to go into the conclusion of the matter now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? Over in Galatians chapter 3, we see the, Galatians chapter 2, we see the equation of when we're in the flesh, if we're trying to justify ourselves before the law, we're in the flesh. So we can use the term law works here, all right? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after law works or the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and the resulting death. The sin is a way which seemeth right, in the end thereof are the ways of death. For what the law could not do or was powerless to do in that it was weak through the flesh, that's us, God, I wrote in my Bible, did, because it kind of completes the thought in English. In Greek, that's the thought we get from the word that was used. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, God was made a man. Okay? Did you know that the area, I learned this week, Bethlehem was the area where all the sacrificial lambs for the temple were raised. So he came out of the area of Israel where they raised all the sacrificial lambs. How appropriate for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Of course, then because of Herod, he went down into Egypt, and it was fulfilled in the scriptures, out of Egypt I have sent my son. Okay, well, Egypt speaks of the world, right? Okay, well, our Lord was the Son of Man. All right, so he came out of the world. All these things are fulfilled, but yet he was the Son of God. All right, so he says here, where was I? Verse 3. For what the law could not do or was powerless to do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he was made a sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, or mankind, condemned the sin in what? In his flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God says you're dead, and your life is hid where?
In Christ.
And listen to these words. And Christ, who what? Is your life. When he shall appear, so shall you also appear with him in glory. Your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we have men like Charlie Kirk in the world, and there's been many other men like him, not martyred and assassinated in the manner that he was, and I lament it. Okay, I'm not speaking ill against the man whatsoever. I believe that he was a child of God by his profession of faith. That's between him and the Lord. Okay, some of these men are not very well taught, and so they tend to get legalistic. And he used the law, you know, how a Christian should be. And I agree with, if you're going to come into my office and ask me, should I sin or should I not, I'll tell you don't sin. But I'll also know that your nature is going to cause you to sin. So I'm going to say, when you sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. So that way we can have respect for the law and respect for the provision of salvation by the blood of Christ at the very same time. And that's the way we stand as believers. We stand in the fact that the law is good and right and holy. Now, was that which is good made death unto me? Well, God forbid. It's Christ who stood in my stead in life and stood in my stead in death, so that my infractions against the law are not counted against me, they were counted against him. And I'm accepted in the beloved based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses me from all what? All sin. So we can think the same thing, both things at once. That the law is good, but how to keep it, I find not. Okay? So we have this contention. I'm gonna step away from Charlie Kirk for a second here. I'm going to use the general contention in the world. We have these two sides. We have the good, righteous patriots, and we have the evil do-gooders. Notice I use the word good in both parties. From the evil do-gooders party's side, I'm going to say the left here, they think they're good. From the righteous good patriots, they think they're good. Now, by and large, do most of them have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? No! They don't. Do some of them? Yes. And I would have to say most of those that do are probably on the side of the do-gooder patriots. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're typically not involving yourself. And when I say Bible-believing Christian, I mean a well-educated Christian who's grown in the things of the Lord, has a spiritual maturity, who knows the world's not going to become a better place but a worse place. And do we revel in the fact that the world's becoming a worse place? No. We lament it. It vexes our soul like it vexed Lot's soul. But as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And in the days of Noah, there was evil continually in the name of righteousness. And that's what we're seeing in the world today. So because of this death, and because of the pogrom taking place against the natives of Europe by those that are brought in as quote-unquote immigrants, now we have a righteous rise of quote-unquote, the faith in the world. But is it based in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it based in the good of humanity? I see a whole lot of the good of humanity out there. Now, our Lord said in the latter days there's going to be false prophets. But watch out, because sometimes they come unto you in sheep's clothing. You know? So, we have the righteous on this side, and we have the righteous on this side, but they're not taking into consideration the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So do we get caught up in these movements? You can take your stand, you know. I vote my conscience in this country. I'm not of military age anymore. I suppose depending on what happens, I could be. I always kind of felt bad about not joining the armed services, but I went in to run my dad's business and became a preacher, and the Lord had my life planned out. You know, so this is what I was supposed to do. Would I take up a rifle and defend what gave me so much freedom to believe the way I believe in this country? You betcha I would. You know, would it be fun? Hell no, it wouldn't. You know, okay. So I'll take a stand for what I believed is right. I'll defend my family. I'll protect those who I can protect physically. You know, but I can't save a single soul. You know, what I can do is preach the gospel, and my Lord can save their soul so that they can have eternal life. Because the focus of the believer in Jesus Christ shouldn't be the world. The focus of the believer in Jesus Christ should be his heavenly inheritance, our hope. And this is why I'm always encouraging everyone. How does faith come? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it happens by hearing. The more of the scriptures are within us, the more we operate according to the scriptures. What did our Lord say? Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when we operate according to thus saith the Lord, what happens out in the world becomes strangely dim. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're cast down, but we're not in despair. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us and kept by the power of God. So no matter what happens in the world, like we read over in the book of Job, at calamity thou shalt laugh. The world's not going to get better. The world's going to get worse. And the Lord promised to keep us until he receives us unto himself, so we don't have anything to worry about. Now, I don't think I set my timer. I'm going 10 minutes over. So that's a good place to quit. All right, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. And I'm going to tell everybody this. You know, when I saw that happen, it was a tragedy. And I believed in the message of the man for the sake of the country. So I don't want anybody to take me wrong when I say that. But I did want to point out the fact that we have this faux sense of righteousness in the world, both coming from the left and both coming from the right. But there's only one true righteousness in the world, and that's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf. And that's not entered into by works of righteousness, which we've done. It's entered into by faith. And if we've done that, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away. It's kept in heaven for us by the power of God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your wonderful love, mercy, and grace. We know that we have tumult and controversy happening all around us in the world, but we ask that you keep us very close to thee during these times, and we know that's done by hearing the gospel so that we can become very, very mature men and women in Christ, allowing the word of Christ to rule in our hearts. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.